Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hey everyone, Peter Zion here, coming to you from the Brett's track in New Zealand. Almost done. Like 4K left. Question from the Patreon crowd. If you were to craft the perfect U.S. alliance system for the future, what would it be? Well, I would always start with the family. So what I like to call the Grand Honky Alliance, all the Anglo states. So that's the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, Australia, and New Zealand. These are countries that share more than the common bond of English culture and history. They're all naval powers, with the exception of Canada, which doesn't kind of count in that regard. And so they have the ability to defend themselves in a degree that's much simpler than it is for a land power. So security complications are quite limited. The economic growth is largely consumption driven, so it's going to be something that's really interesting and positive to have in a deglobalizing world where populations are aging out everywhere. It's less true for those countries. And we have a long track record with the Anglos, called the Five Eyes Alliance, which is basically intelligence sharing throughout. Basically, whatever we find that isn't a complete individual national state secret is shared among the five. It makes the most powerful strategic decision-making apparatus that you could possibly have. So start there. Number two, you look for countries that are up-and-comers that have the potential to do very well in the world to come. At the very top of that list are two countries, Mexico and Vietnam. These are states that are already in the United States' top seven trading partners. Mexico is number one, Vietnam's number seven. And they have the demographic to continue doing this for a very, very, very long time. Their security issues, in the classical sense, worrying about other countries, are quite limited. Vietnam is backed up by mountains and jungles on all sides, and Vietnam's most insecure border is the one that has with the United States. So if I was to give any advice to presidents now or in the future, it's find a way to make relations with Mexico as wholesome and as well-rounded as possible. If you're only talking trade, if you're only talking drugs, if you're only talking immigration, you're not really doing anyone a favor. This needs to be a broader conversation that involves not just security in the way that we've defined it on the border, but in the broader sense, it needs to involve culture and finance and transport and logistics and infrastructure and everything that is benefiting what has been the strongest bilateral economic relationship in human history already. Can you imagine if we actually put some effort into that? Okay, next, countries where the security issues are relatively limited and they could bring a lot to the table. France and Japan are at the very top of that list. Japan, obviously an archipelago, has two super carriers, which are the only two outside of the Five Eyes Agreement. The others that are not American are British. Second strongest navy in human history, the Brits are third. And an economy that has already relatively globalized proofed it. It's still a massive importer of energy and raw materials, but this is not the Japan of the 1980s that was completely dependent on trade. It only trades for GDP about 15% of the total, which is very similar to the American number. And so this is a country that, while its demographics are bad, it is developing a series of technologies to cope with it, which is something that we will learn in ourselves in the future. France, on the far western side of Europe, they're sometimes our estranged sibling, but that simply underlines that they are family. The French and the Americans have always gotten along when it really matters, although we'd like to do things our own way. They also have a positive demographic picture. They have a huge fleet of atomic power stations, so they're not nearly as dependent on petroleum or natural gas imports as anyone else in Europe. And they have a military that's roughly right size to their needs. So you kind of group those together and you kind of get the dream team. Once you have that in place, I would look around for the low-hanging fruit. Places where there's technologies that are kind of concentrated, think Taiwan, that would be very useful. Or places that don't have security concerns because they're isolated from everybody else. Spain and Portugal might fall into that category. But overall, this is the cluster. These are the countries that do really well in the future. And Then once you've got that, you can start thinking things a little bit more ambitious based on whatever your goals are, however you define them. I'm a little hesitant to put my stamp on anything beyond that list because the technologies in 10, 15 years may look significantly different, and the goalposts will shift with that. But for now, these are the countries that I see as being relatively stable, relatively wealthy, with a good growth trajectory, and very little chance of anything knocking them off.